Now, in 1 John, as this is not on my notes, 1 John, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. He first loved us. Always remember that. God so loved the world. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love, and as the scripture says, a sound mind. I like self-control. That's the other. It actually means self-control. Fear is faith contaminated, folks. You've heard that said many times from this pulpit. I've heard it said many times from Kenneth Copeland. When faith gets contaminated, we end up in unbelief. And we know that it is impossible to please God without faith. Another one of the scriptures says, God has not and will never give us a spirit of fear and timidity. Will never. Fear. Fear. That's to be afraid. Afraid of someone or something. As likely to be dangerous, painful, or threatening. And in Hebrews 13:6, so we can say with confidence, you hear that? We can say with confidence, and say this with me, the Lord is my helper. So I will have no fear. What can mere people do to us? Fear not what mere people can do to you. And fear not the CCP virus, which is a SARS-CoV-2 MRSA type thing that's going on. Because it's man-made. It never could get into us till man manipulated it into the human beings. Man did it. So we are not to have fear of that. It's a way of trying to control the world right now. It looks like it's winning, but it isn't. It will not have the victory. It will not have the victory in Jesus' name. But this part of the curse, and we've been redeemed from the curse, have we not? Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. That's what the Word says. Galatians 3:13. I had to tell him that on a call the other day with one of the insurance plans. Now, I won't say it was UPMC. And anyhow, I called them. It was about something that I had called in about because it wouldn't take my payment. I had to get that. That's not the whole, but that was what they called back for. They gave me a number because I couldn't even remember that I'd called for it. I had it taken care of. They called me back on that number. So I called them and I said, well, this is the reference number. They said, oh, okay. Can I have your date of birth? And she said, yeah, and you can, okay, your address, all that. I gave her all that. And she said, did you have your flu shot? I says, is that what I called in about? Is that what this, and I read her that number. Well, no, but did you get your flu shot? And so I proceeded to say, so, well, what's that have to do with my call into you? Because now I'm confused. So I know I didn't call about no flu shot. And she said, well, all I'm asking is, did you get the flu shot? I says, ma'am, are you definitely, this is a recorded line, right? And she said, yeah. I says, no, I have never taken the flu shot. I don't get the flu. I says, you see how old I am? Because you got my birth date there. I never got a flu shot, my dear. Then I proceeded to give her Galatians 3 and went on with my whole spiel. And she said, okay, thank you. I said, now what was it about? Well, it was you called in about the payment. I said, I got that taken care of, ma'am. Thank you very much. But if it's on a recorded line, they know where I stand. Don't call me and ask me if I got the flu shot. I've never gotten a flu shot, and I'm not going to get the flu shot. I want to know that something's going to work. I know what I'm standing on. I know what Charles and Flo stood on. They never did find out what it was. They didn't want to know. They stood on the word. But at first it wasn't that way. They called me and I'm the pastor, right? You know what I said? You should get tested. Well, we were there. You should do this. And I'm saying, okay. And I prayed. And then I hung up after giving my spiel and them telling me what they were going through. And I got convicted. Big time. I called them up, and did I not? I said, I apologize to you. I'm supposed to be your pastor, and I can't stand in agreement with you standing on the Word of God for what you're going to go through. And I went over, and I just nailed every scripture. It just kept pouring out of me. I'm supposed to be the pastor. If she's going to stand on the Word, I'm going to stand with her. If you're standing on something, and you're standing on the Word, I'll stand with you. But if you aren't standing on the Word, that's a different story. But they did. And Charles realized he needed to stay in the Word a whole bunch to get through this and come out with a victory. And there is, and there's another one back there. He stood on the Word, Tyler. He raised a hallelujah while he was still on oxygen, coughing, losing his breath. He raised a hallelujah. And he stood on the Word. I know because I texted him the Word. Okay? Just to make sure. I like to reinforce it. But if I'm going to be your pastor and you're going to line yourself up with the Word of God, I'm going to be in agreement with you. Because it's the Word that works. Hallelujah, Jesus. I got to get past page one here. Okay, that was fear. But now, and timidity. You know, that is a lack of courage and confidence. So he's not giving us that. In fact, in Joshua 1:9 says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified, rattled, intimidated, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That takes care of that, doesn't it? That's courage right there. Take it upon yourself. He'll reinforce you. He's with you wherever you go. And when you come down to that confidence, well, it says in Proverbs 3, verse 26, God is your confidence. See, God is your confidence in times of crisis, keeping your heart at rest in every situation. No matter what the circumstances are, he will give you that rest, that peace. Hallelujah. God gave us a spirit of mighty power, love, and self-control. This is Holy Spirit who gives us mighty power, love, and self-control. Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of him... We're talking about God here. But the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. When you became born again, Holy Spirit moved in. Holy Spirit moved in with power. Now, that was just, he came in with a taste of power. But if you need the full power of the Holy Spirit, we can take care of that. We can lay hands on you. Because when they did back in Acts, what did it say? 3,000 come to the Lord. Received the power of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit moves, things happen, as you can see. The Holy Spirit brings us wisdom, knowledge, understanding, revelation, and he brings an anointing on God's word. It is the anointing or the power of the Holy Spirit that breaks the yoke of bondage. The yoke is anything that binds us. It can be sickness, bad habits, demonic activity, unconstitutional mandates that threaten our freedoms. In Isaiah 10:27, it shall come to pass in that day that the government's burden will be taken away from your shoulders and the government's yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. Now, of course, I added word so you understood it's talking about the enemy. We have an enemy who wants to keep us in bondage. And he puts a yoke upon us, just like our government's trying to do. I said trying to do. They are losing. They are losing. Even when it comes to teaching of critical race theory, they are losing. I mean, you go down and you look at the ones that have already outlawed it, and all the ones who are fighting it, who have different rules and regulations about it, and it comes out. Do you know what? H.R. 5858 in Pennsylvania legislation is setting up to do the same thing, to ban it. Wow! Our Pennsylvania! Yeah, when I went through that list of states that have legislation filed to take care of it, Pennsylvania. I said, wow, somebody's getting awoken. We know that, see? I'm getting awakened. I don't want to use that word, welcome. Awakened. So things are happening. But you all didn't know that unless you do the research. You got to go digging for this information to find it. So, but you would think that we're losing. Now, we got to pray for them crazies down there in Virginia who just now put those books back in their library that they've been fought across all over the country that actually teach critical race theory through it's sex and some other discrimination thing. They put them in, and it actually shows sexual exploited pictures and everything in the books. And it's in the library. And they feel that it's for gender equality. We need to put that in there so it teaches people. Why would you teach it? And this is for fourth graders. It's sickening what's going on. But they feel that down there they got enough that got together and they pushed it through. So they put those books back in. They put them back in. You don't need to teach them. Not that. Should have never taken the Bible out of the school. It used to be part of the libraries. You had to have it in there. Yeah. Amen. I do remember our hearts had that. I remember praying in the morning. I remember saying the Pledge of Allegiance every day. And then, you know, now what are they, you know, then it got to the point where now everybody's, okay, let's get on with class. That's it. We're not even going to pledge allegiance to the flag. Yeah. A lot of prayer needs to keep coming on. We just can't relax. We are winning the victory. You need to know that. See, if you listen to everything else, sounds like we're not, and it makes you want to say, well, what's the sense of me praying? Y'all are winning. Y'all are winning. Things are changing. Okay, so we're back to the yoke. The anointing destroys the yoke, is what you've all heard. The anointing of the Holy Spirit, though, is on God's Word. So in John 8:32, now there's a quick side look. I kept reading that scripture, and I was sitting there and during the week, and all of a sudden the other night, after watching Flashpoint, and I went back and we were talking, me and Teresa, and I was like, hey, I said, you know what? This scripture, it finally jumped out at me. Now, I'm not Pat, but it's just, it was odd, and I got to share this. I think it's funny, maybe not, but I because I took it seriously. But I thought, wait a minute, John 8:32. John, that's my name. And you know where I live? 8:32. So, and I live in that scripture, is what I felt, is what the Holy Spirit said. You hang on to that scripture. But what does it say in that scripture? It says that the truth, God's word, shall set us free. But I know you're probably saying right now, well, I thought it was the anointing that breaks the yoke. See, that's true. But Jesus said in 6:63, it is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. That was Jesus' words. So he said his words are spirit and life. The word of God is anointed by the Spirit of God. That's the reason the truth of the word will set you free. See, and you remember, Jesus made a request to the Father. And it was in John 17. And he's making it for us. It was written in, but this is for us. Jesus said, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Do you hear that? Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So the word and truth, they're interchangeable. So in John 8:32, it reads, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That means that we could read that verse, John 8:32, as, you shall know the word, and the word shall make you free. That's why it pays to word up. So then, my soul, why would you be depressed? Why would you sink into despair? Come on, soul. Just keep hoping and waiting on God, your Savior, no matter what. Pays to word up. Isaiah 42:5, by the way. Dean's New Translation, The Passion. You have to feel, though, for Christians who don't know the Word. See, we see them throughout the body of Christ because they're full of fear. They're bound up. They are failing. And they're stumbling and they're falling along the wayside. And what's Hosea 4:6 say? It says, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Another way to say that is God's people are destroyed from the lack of the truth of His Word. But when we possess the knowledge of the truth of God's Word, we won't be destroyed any longer. We won't be deceived by the lies of the devil, the so-called science experts, the self-seeking politicians, our government. All our praying, shouting, decreeing, declaring, or whatever we're doing, it needs to be in alignment with God's Word. Word up. Word up. Be prepared. Psalm 138, verse 2 says, "For you have magnified your word above all your name." Says it all, doesn't it? "For you have magnified your word above all your name." Many Christians are not walking in the victory of Jesus, are they? But those who are walking with Jesus and quoting the word are walking the victorious walk. But see, these people who are not tasting that victory because they're not in the word, not using the word, because they don't understand the importance of his word, And the power it has when we speak it. His word is the answer to everything in life. What Scripture says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's your tongue. And if you're having trouble and your mouth keeps running, that tongue keeps running. It'll protect you sometimes. That's why sometimes when I like to watch when Timmy goes, and I know that means something else to all you that are Italian. I don't know what it means, but I watch Timmy do it all the time. I thought he'd be just biting his tongue, but I think a lot of times he should bite his tongue. And believe me, I enforce that with him all the time. I won't let him go down a negative road. God's words are life and they are health. Every word we speak is alive, creating or destroying. God has given us his word as seed, as I've said before. And he needs us speaking it. See, because every word of God comes to pass. When we speak the word in faith, the power of the Holy Spirit anoints God's word, bringing it to pass. The word works for everyone and anyone who simply believes and acts on it by speaking it. Speaking and praying aloud the word causes things in the natural realm to change. And we've seen it. We have seen it. Not just in the world, but in the lives of individuals within the body. Those in Ella Cooper Christian Assembly's family. But let me say this. Speaking contrary to the word in those difficult situations that we face. Oh, and we do face them. We face them daily. That gives the enemy his way. Satan has no place in the lives of believers except when he is given one by our words. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. You can say that every morning before you go into work. Because you get into work, those peoples can be peoples, and they will tempt you to say things that you don't want to say. And that's when you got to say, I got to walk in love. Oh, I don't want to walk in love. No, I got to walk in love. Hallelujah. I got to walk. Keep watch over the door of my lips. They keep the door shut. I mean, don't open your mouth to none. Take time to think before you speak. And when you speak the word. Take time and think about that. Speak the word. We need a word up daily. And what we got to do, though, is when we word up, is to take time and make sure you meditate it so that You get it down in so that it actually becomes part of your being. So you can word up and read and read and read, but if you ain't taking time to meditate it, to get it down, to make it part of you. See, that's important. That is important. Because the more we hear it, the more our mind is renewed to agree with it. Our thinking must line up with the Word. We cannot make the Word line up with our thinking. It just doesn't work that way. In every situation, we need to simply look to the Word of God and do what it says. Agree with it. Side in with it, not against it. Word of God is truth. Knowing and speaking His truth will change all our situations. Now, people might receive temporary help and get blessed just momentarily because they are honest and they're seeking God. But the only thing that will permanently bless people is to know the truth of His Word. The Word is anointed by the Holy Spirit. And when we know God's Word, that anointed Word will forever bless us and set us free. No matter what the circumstances are, no matter what we face in life, see, we must train ourselves always to ask, what does the Word say about it? What does the Word say about it? Very simple. Put the Word first. Put the Word first. WWJD. What would Jesus do? How did He respond? It is written, and then He quoted the Word. Our problem much of the time is we are looking for someone else to set us free. Instead of looking to the Word and leaning on, trusting in, and being confident in Jesus, we look to and trust people. I'm telling you, peoples is peoples. And people will burn you. Remember, peoples will be peoples. And they truly cannot set you free. We should be looking to Jesus. For He has already won the victory. Colossians 1, verse 13. God made us free from the power of darkness. And He brought us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Who set us free from darkness? God, you got it. That's it. How did He do it? Through Jesus. And when we accept Jesus, we are translated into His kingdom. The kingdom of light. The kingdom of life. The kingdom of eternity. See, that's something you ought to be rejoicing about. Eternity. I like this, Luke 10, 19. This is always one of my favorite scriptures way back when I got saved. Luke 10, 19. I got to say this because this is where it's right in the beginning. I like it with that exclamation point. Listen! Listen! That's Jesus speaking. I have given you authority. Who gave us authority? Jesus. That you now possess. When do we possess it? Now, to tread on serpents and scorpions. And if you look up serpents and scorpions, they're talking about them demonic little spirits and those scorpions, because scorpions are deadly. They have a tail that comes around with poison on it. But see, you can trap on, you can step all over them things. So He has given us authority. Now it goes on to say, and the ability. So He's given you the ability to exercise that authority. He's not only given it to you, He's given you the ability to exercise it. And exercise what? Over all the power of the enemy. And we're talking about Satan here. Because He's already defeated him. But he goes on to say, and nothing will in any way harm you. That's awesome. You know, you think about it. You have the authority and he's given you the ability. Don't doubt that you do not have the ability. You do have the ability through Christ who strengthened you. Hallelujah. Through the Holy Spirit, God has given us the Bible. And so that knowledge of, so the knowledge of what he has done, we can read, and that is what is going to set us free. The Holy Spirit empowers his word, and he gave it to us. Okay, for example, let me give you this example. To set us free from sickness and disease, what does the Bible tell us? Psalm 107:20. Okay, Dean, here you go. The Passion Translation, because I think you'll, and I think they all need to hear this too, says, God spoke the words, be healed. God spoke the words, be healed. And we were healed, delivered from death's door. We were healed. I like that. Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. What is in the law? Sickness and disease. Every disease, every virus, every plague, every one of them. Flu, the cold. Matthew 8:17. He himself took our sicknesses and removed our diseases. Think about that for a second. Cancer is a disease. It's a disease. Jesus took it. He removed it. Now, if you have it, you tell it to leave. Because it says it right there. You can say, that's what the Word says. That's what the Word says. 1 Peter 2:24. By whose stripes you were healed. I like that. Just as Dean said. Were healed. Past tense, folks. You're healed. It doesn't go by what you feel. You're healed. You're healed. Quit looking at yourself. Quit looking at the feelings. You're healed. Your pastor is healed. No matter how I feel, it's the word that supersedes how I feel. Amen. You got to love it. We need to simply look to the Word of God and do what it says. Agree with it. You know, agree with it. It is only knowledge of the anointed Word that sets us free. Many miss it when it comes to healing, if they are not immediately healed 100%. They say, I didn't get anything. I didn't get anything. They turn off the switch of faith if there isn't an instant, total manifestation of healing. Faith is not knowing God can. Faith is knowing that God will. And if he will, then it's a done deal if you've asked him. It's a done deal if you've asked him. Well, this is how I'm feeling. Well, then that means you're reflecting on the feeling, not on what you've heard in the Word. The Word supersedes that. The Word is truth. What you're hearing is the lies of the devil, and you're letting your body speak to you. Speak to your body. That's what we're supposed to do. Speak to it. We have the same power that Jesus had. He spoke to trees. He spoke to the lake. He spoke to the winds. He spoke to the rain. And that same power is in us. Speak to your body. It's not easy. I've been there. I'm there with you, though. I'm going to stand with you when you're standing on a word. We can't lose. When we use the word and we got two of us in agreement, just takes two. Hallelujah. It is when we know the truth or the word about healing, can we simply believe. The word teaches us that a healing which takes place over time is also miraculous. In John chapter 4, verses 46 to 53. Now, this is Jesus' second recorded miracle. You know, I'm saying second recorded miracle. He did so many miracles, they could not write them all down. It says, once more, Jesus visited Cana in Galilee. In Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. Remember, that was at the wedding. That was the first miracle. And we learned something real big there from what Jesus' mom told the servant, did she not? Whatever he says to do it, just do it. That's what we should take that advice. Whatever he says, just do it. Do it. Hallelujah. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, which was, by the way, approximately 20 miles from Capernaum on foot. That's a long walk. It's a couple day journey. Well, he went to Jesus and he begged him, come and heal my son who was close to death. Unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told them, you will never believe. The royal official said, Sir, he called him sir. That means he was putting himself under the authority of Jesus. Sir, come down before my child dies. Go, Jesus replied, your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. This government official believed Jesus could do what he claimed. He simply believed. And because he placed his faith in Jesus, he then was persistent in asking Jesus to come and heal his son. This miracle was more than just for that one particular official. It would be a sign to all the people. Go, Jesus says. Your son will live. And a man took Jesus at his word. Took him at his word and he departed. He departed. Let me ask you, did Jesus go and lay hands on that kid? No, he did not. How about the lady with the issue of blood? Did Jesus lay hands on her? But she reached out and touched his garment. But what was it that healed her? Not the touching of the garment. It was her faith. What's taking place here? It's the faith. But what I'm trying to say, there's no distance for Jesus. Jesus is in heaven. And he still heals today. the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no distance for the healings to take place. Healing did not pass away. It is still here today. And if somebody asks you to come pray for me, lay hands on me, then you go pray and you lay hands on them and you believe that when you impart to them that there's healing is going to take effect and it will take place. Will they jump up out of that bed? Some will. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you pray for someone in a bed and you say that they will live and not die and you pray that their liver gets supernaturally manifested right there and healed. And nothing happens until the next morning when they come in and they do a test on you and say, what happened here? Your liver's functioning. What happened? What happened? It didn't happen instantaneously. So sometimes we got to wait for that healing to manifest itself. So in the meantime, stand strong. Stand strong. Don't waver. Hallelujah. Don't waver. This man not only believed Jesus could heal, but he also, how you like this, Dad? He obeyed. He obeyed. Right there. He obeyed Jesus by returning home, thus demonstrating his faith. See, it isn't enough for us to say we believe that Jesus can take care of our problems. We need to act as if he can. When we pray about a need or situation, we must act and live as though we believe Jesus can do what he says. And if you do believe that, no more anxieties, no more worries, no more fears. No more fears. Hallelujah. No more fears. While he was still on his way home, his servants met him with the news that that his boy was living. His boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, yesterday, at 1 in the afternoon, the fever left him. The fever left him. It doesn't say the boy got up and started playing soccer or outside running around. It said the fever left him. When the fever leaves you, sometimes it, you know, takes time for the body to make a total recovery, does it not? So it doesn't say instantaneously that he jumped up and ran around. I just need to make you sure that you understand that's what happened here. But he was on his way to a total recovery. Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So he and his whole household believed. Wow. How does faith grow? Well, this man's faith grew. First, he believed enough to travel 20 miles to ask Jesus to help his son. Second, he believed Jesus' assurance that his son would live, and he acted upon it. That's a key thing. Thirdly, he and his whole household believed in Jesus. They all got saved. Because they saw the signs and wonders. We shouldn't have to have signs and wonders. Just believe Jesus and believe his word, and the signs and wonders will follow what you're praying and believing for. Faith is a gift that grows as we use it. Verse 54, this was the second sign or miracle Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. Now, y'all know Kenneth Hagin. And Kenneth Hagin, if you remember, when he was a teenager, he was in the Word because he was laying on his deathbed. That's what it was. It was a deathbed. He was given no hope. But he was reading the Word. And the Word spoke to him. And he saw in the Word where all he had to do was believe that healing belonged to him. And it was his. That Word belonged to him, so he grabbed a hold of it. He prayed, and when he did, he believed, he received his healing. When he prayed, he believed he received his healing. Now, he had said this in his own words when I was reading. He did not look like he had received that healing. You know, it didn't look like him. He was about 89 pounds. And he was really, really weak. I mean, he was bedfast for 16 months. You know yourself, the more you lay around, the weaker you get. A body in motion stays in motion. The more you sit and wallow in self-pity, yeah, you've answered your own question right there. And also his heart. When he would sit around and rest, his heart was beating really strong, but he got up to do any little thing, man, his heart would just take off and just beat like crazy. So he couldn't exert himself. And he was little, like I said, 89 pounds. He was basically a skeleton with skin stretched over top of it. Let me ask you. Do you think that describes someone who's healed? No. That's right. But how about... But glory to be to God. Glory to God. He began, though, to amend that from the very hour that he believed that he was healed. He believed it. He didn't see the manifestation of it. But he believed it. He did not let what he saw or what he felt enter in to how he was going to believe God. We cannot let in anything in the way of believing God. God has promised us healing. Promised to set us free. And what? God used him. He says, by what you demonstrate, I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you, Kenneth Hagin, to teach my people faith. And he did. Oh, did he ever. I remember the news, I got a call. And they said, did you hear? And I said, what? He said, Kenneth Hagin went home to be with Jesus. Man, I literally just, it like took the wind out of me. And I heard that. And, you know, I was like, what? I mean, this is faith, man. He got up that morning, gonna have breakfast, sitting at his kitchen table, and you know what he told his wife? Well, today I'm going home to be with the Lord. And he went home to be with the Lord. How was it? Don't go early. I still believe he was way too early. So I'm claiming for you because I'm claiming 120. 120. So the Word said, I'm going to stand on 120. And I'm going to still be moving around and walking around. And I don't know if Denny's still going to be making pizza, but he'll probably be out going up and down the streets evangelizing, getting people born again and spirit-filled, because that's what he uses his business for. That's what he's all about. It's not all about making an income, making money. It's about what he can do through that, through the Lord. And because of the money that comes in, he's able to finance and push the gospel of the Lord further. So he lives what he preaches and what he talks to you and teaches you about on before we take our offering. Hallelujah. He doesn't just talk it, he walks it. Okay? And you can pay me later for that comment. I know y'all are sitting there thinking, well, I just know the brother. And I know his heart. I know where his heart's at. His heart's for Jesus. His heart's for Jesus. His heart's are for the people, for those that are lost. He doesn't want to see anyone lost. He does want to see anyone lost. And he's had some interesting stories he could probably share with some people that have been in his shop that resist that temptation just to talk about Jesus. But I'm going to tell you this morning, keep your faith switch in the on position. Learn what the Word promises you, then believe and act on your knowledge of the truth. Don't give up just because in the natural it looks like your faith isn't working. Believe that what God has spoken in His Word is true. Continue to act on your knowledge of the Word in faith, and it will become reality in your life. Reality means it'll become real. When we know the Word and we do it, we will see victory and we will definitely be set free. The anointed Word will break every yoke of bondage, no matter what your need is. So put the Word first. Despite what comes our way in life, we must train ourselves to ask, what does God's Word say about it? Then act upon the knowledge of that truth and His Word, and watch. It will set you free. You shall know the Word, and the Word shall make you free. And I'm going to close with this scripture. In 1 John 5. For whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And who is he who overcomes the world? Say, that's me. He who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. God bless.